Thinking the other day, I was thinking about how good God is. I try to dwell on some, Bible says we're encourage ourselves in the Lord, and again, if we don't encourage ourselves, nobody else will probably. But I was thinking about some of the things that God has done for us. Now, I'll read a few verses here, and I'll give you the thought the Lord's laid on my heart. In verse number one, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, I got to pondering on that, and it said, "For the joy that was set before him." And we know that the type of death that Jesus died, crucifixion, was not an easy way to go. I know in the world, I get kind of aggravated. They'll be saying about somebody who committed some mass murder and done all these wicked things, and they're going to sentence them to death, and they think, well, it's inhumane to take that person's life, by lethal injection or whatever, and whatever happens to that person after death, that's between them and God. If they're saved, they'll go to heaven. If they're lost, they'll go to hell, but they say that's inhumane. Think about the crucifixion. It was a very torturous, a terrible way to die. Probably the worst that could be imagined. It's always intrigued me here where the Bible said, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." I can't imagine. I know God, Jesus is God, and I know that God was in that. That was for our sins. No doubt Jesus willingly went to the cross for us. He said there in John, I believe it is, he said, "No man takes my life from you." He said, "I have power to lay it down. And I had power to take it up again." But I thought, man, how could it be joyous? Just thinking about it, just wondering on it. How could it be a joy to go to the cross? Maybe that would have been another way. But Jesus knew that the Bible says the shedding of blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. It was because that he died on the cross for our sins. And I thought about that, and I thought about, why did he do that? We know he did it to save us. I thought, why would, none of us deserve it, right? Raise your hand if you're perfect in here. We're only perfect by the great goodness of God, his blood. Ain't nothing in me perfect, right? None of us are. And I got to thinking about that. For some reason, and we know why, but Jesus saw value, in what he was dying for. He looked down at mankind and he saw the sin of this world, and he saw how that man would die lost without God, and go to hell had it not been for the cross. We read in the Old Testament how those priests would go in there and they'd offer up those sacrifices year after year. They'd have to offer up the blood for themselves and then for the sins of the people. The only problem was that blood didn't wash away their sins. It just paid maybe the interest on it for a year. That sin was still there. That high priest, he'd go back into that holiest of holies. There was no chair back there. There was nowhere to sit down. Because his work was never done. He'd yearly have to be offering sacrifices for the sins of the people. And then the Bible tells us that this man, Jesus, he went forever, paid the penalty of sin. I said, why? What would cause Jesus? We know he was God. We know the reason, but just kind of somebody maybe on the outside looking in. I said, what would cause Jesus to do that? But I wrote down here because he saw value in what he was dying for. You know what value is determined by? Value is basically, just the definition means worth, what something's worth. But value is determined by the price. The price of something is determined by what someone is willing to give for it. You'll see men that collect cars and have classic cars and all, and you take a 57 Chevy or a very sought after car. That car, when it was sold, it might have just been a few thousand dollars. You got one today that's fixed up and then really up. Now his uncle had died. He had many old cars. I think it was a 57 Chevy that we rode away in our wedding that he let us use. when we left our left the church from our wedding. Man, cars like that, some of them bring 50, 60, even some of them, if they're really nice and they're really rare, they can bring over $100,000. I read the news there, and I was reading on the news, and somebody found a dollar bill that had some kind of defect. I don't remember what was wrong with it. And it's a dollar, right? A dollar's worth a dollar. And this one had something, there's something special about it. It was real rare. I can't remember exactly how much, but it was thousands of dollars that somebody had paid for this $1 bill. And the reason it gave it worth is because it was very rare. And, you know, for whatever reason. So value is determined by what somebody is willing to pay for it. And we see and we know the story that Jesus died for us. And sometimes I look back and I say, well, God, you didn't get much when you got me. I'm the one that benefited. I'm the one that was on my way to hell. I didn't bring you good talents. I don't want to, let me just let y'all in. So I'm not a talented person. I can't sing. I like to sing. I sound really good by myself. But when others get around me, they don't think so. I'm not a great speech writer. I don't think of myself as a great preacher. I'm not this just big educated brain that knows has all the answers in the world. I think, man, God, you didn't really get much when you got me, but I'm so thankful that you died for me. I kept thinking about, you know, the story of Job there, and God's the one that brought up Job. He tells Satan, he said, you considered my servant Job. There's none like him in all the earth. He was a perfect and upright man, Bible says. And Job, how he was a good man there. We think, man, Job was a great guy. And the devil said, yeah, you just take what he's got and all. And Satan said, you take this, take that, and he'll curse you, and he'll do this, and he'll do that. And Job had his problems there, and Job did some things he shouldn't have done. But I kind of got to thinking there, when God maybe gets ready to die for something, you know, when Jesus was getting ready to die for the sins of man, and I believe in the foreknowledge of God. I believe God knows everybody that's going to get saved. And I believe God knows everything we'd do before we were born. But I believe in the foreknowledge of God. He knew every sin I'd commit. Like my pastor said this morning, he got saved at, I think he got saved at 13. I was 15. And Brother Mark said that he did most of his sinning after he got saved. And I was the same way. I lived in my home. I lived with my parents, and I lived under their roof. I had to do what they said, and I did things I shouldn't have done when they didn't know about it. I did things I shouldn't have done after the fact that I got saved. Things I really regret. I just thought about maybe Satan was sitting there and said, you know, God, you don't want to die for that one. He's gonna do this. Lord, this one's gonna deny you. I start about the Lord sitting there, thinking about it. I think maybe God said, you know, that one, even though he's gonna deny me, he's worth it. You know, maybe God's devil said, look at that one down there, Lord. You want to die for that one? That one's gonna be a drunkard. That one's gonna drink, and that one's gonna do this. And I just thought maybe the Lord sat there and said, yeah, that one's worth it. And maybe God's devil said, yeah, that one there is gonna be a harlot. That one's gonna use their lives for ill report, do ungodly things. I think maybe the Lord looked back and said, yeah, I know they're gonna do that, but I still think they're worth it. I'm glad when it comes down to it that God looked down at our sin, and we know that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, they're three, but they're one. All three of them got together, and they looked down. Maybe they looked at you, and they looked at me, and they saw all the bad things that we were going to do in our lives. Anybody tells you they don't sin, the Bible calls them a liar. Every one of us has sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us. I just want to think about it. God looks down and says, yeah, I know they're going to do that, but they're worth it. You know why? Because God saw value in a soul that was dying lost without Him. Had it not been for Him, none of us. I don't care how good you are. I don't care what good of a life you've lived. I don't care how much money you may have been able to give the church, or what kind of labor you've done. None of us deserve to go to heaven. And he said, for the joy that was set before him, I believe God looked down upon man, and he said, yeah, that one's going to deny me, that one's going to be ungodly, that one's going to be unthankful, that one's going to do this and do that. And I look at, you read stories in the Bible and you see people, I know people that get in church, they'll get out of church, and they struggle with their flesh, with things, and whatever that may be, but I am thankful that we serve a God who loves us. And he looked down and said, that one is worth it for me to die for. Man, how good of a God we serve. I wrote down, he thought it was worth the suffering of the cross. The cross wasn't like they do today, and they want to do a lethal injection, and they want to be as humane, and I understand all that. They do the electric chair, and some of them have had gas chambers. But the crucifixion was one of the worst things of history. Ways to die. And one man said, he said, well, many people died of crucifixion. That's true. But I like what one man said. He said, give me the name of another one. Because we know there's only one that died that really made the difference. And we know that Jesus not only died, but he got up out of the grave. So I wrote down, he thought we were worth the suffering of the cross. As painful as that was, as a terrible means of crucifixion as that was, as a terrible means of dying as that was, he thought we were worth the suffering of the cross. And he said, for the joy that was set before him. I don't like pain. And I don't know many people that do, but I don't like being in pain. I even ask my wife, and I'm sick. I'm a big baby. I don't like it. I've had a few kidney stones in my life, and I said, that's the worst pain I've ever felt. I don't want to feel anything else. I don't like pain. I never thought when I had pain that this is a good thing. This is joy. I enjoy this. But except for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He thought the cross was worth the suffering that man could be saved. And also I wrote down, he thought the shame of the cross. Man, they stripped him. They spat upon him. They mocked him. They did all these ungodly things. They tried to give him vinegar to drink. They beat him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They mocked him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." They said, "Hey, if you're really the Christ, won't you come down off that cross?" And no doubt the shame and just the ungodliness and the wickedness that he endured, but he thought we were worth it. And I hear people say, "Man, I just can't get in church. It's just too hard. I can't get in church. I can't get up on Sunday morning." We was on visitation one time, and we knocked on the door, me and this other guy from church, and this guy's like, I gotta rest on Sunday. I just have to rest. I don't have time to go to church. I work and all this." And the guy's with is actually Brother Brad Jones, our church. He said, "Nobody on their deathbed ever says, 'I wish I'd rested more.' Nobody on their deathbed said, 'I wish I'd have spent more time working.'" But there's a lot of people said, I've heard a lot of people, they're getting it toward the end of their lives, about, "I wish I'd have done more for the Lord." And I realized, serving God times can be a burden. I mean, it can be hard. We go on visitation some, and we went and invited some folks around our church and around in our neighborhood, our house, not too far from the church, not long ago, and we're trying to get out and visit folks and invite them to church. And we went on, knocked on some doors, and most people are appreciative. We think about, man, we're in the Bible Belt. There's everybody in North Georgia is saved. I mean, it's hard to find some. We have people, I'll go to church. But we actually found several some that didn't. We found some that, was Catholics, and there's a lot of those around. We found, some people that didn't go. We only had one guy that just would tell us to leave. He didn't want anything to have to do with what we had. But there's so many around us that don't know the good news of Jesus Christ. We kind of take for granted that everybody knows. Everybody's been to church. A lot of them have. And that's good. That's the most, it's important to be in the house of God. There's so many around us that don't know. We think about how that God, look at your life and say, God thought you, for whatever reason, and me, for whatever reason, we were worth dying for. We were worth the suffering of the cross, the shame of the cross, the pain of the cross, and everything He went through on Calvary. We were worth that. And man, what a good God we serve. Amen. That He would love us that much. I just thought the devil probably brings up all kind of stuff that we do. And man, it don't take much. I'll be honest with you. He don't have to look far to see me mess up. I mean, I go through the day and I'm like, man, you know, and it's usually not those, it's not certain things, you know, I by the grace of God, I don't really have a, I'm going to take my jacket off, that's alright, I'm a little warm. I don't really have a hard time, I've never had a hard time of being tempted to drink, I never drank. That's not anything, I know there's some that do, and I understand that. And some people got saved out of that, I wasn't saved out of that, I never had to deal with that. Never had a problem with that. But it seems like the same old things. I'm like, God, I messed up again. God, I missed an opportunity to witness. I didn't witness like I should. Or God, I went through this day and God, I didn't pray like I should have. And it seems like it's the same old things just over and over that I mess up on. Guess what? You know, if I go to work and I do something wrong, that, you know, all right, that's fine. Just do better next time. If I keep making the same mistake, more likely they're going to say, look, we don't need you anymore. You just kept messing up. You keep messing up the same thing over and over and over again. We're going to find somebody who's not going to mess up. But that ain't it good by the grace of God that even though we have to come during time after time again, that God still loves us and He feels like we're worth the cross that He had to bear for us. It's like my little boy, we got six kids and we got them from 20 years old all the way down. One just turned, our youngest just turned six. He said, where are they at? Well, we was at church this morning, and then we had a funeral. Me and Natalie, we left, I had the graveside. We left from there and come here. We sent the other kids to different places. And our little boy, Daniel, he's 6 years old, and he goes, he's got his little Sunday school class he goes to, and his one class. And kids like that, they're great. I mean, you can get them to do anything for a piece of candy or anything like that. And I know the brother that teaches, the one, he's, man, I don't think I'm doing anything. And Daniel, he said the other day, he said, Natalie said, what'd you learn in a one class? He said, I learned that every morning we wake up in this big bowl of the blessings of God. and it's every morning we're in a new bowl of the blessings of God. And man, think about that. We just get up every morning and we're in God's mercy. And we're in the blessings of God and the mercies of God and the grace of God. And even though, hey look, you may struggle with things in your life, that's understandable. But we live in a God that no matter how many times we mess up, He loves us. He died for us. He made a way for us. And even though we mess up and we do wrong and we get off track sometimes and we get backslid and we get cold on God, hey, it doesn't matter because God loves us anyway. I wrote down a few things here in the book of John. You look in John chapter 6. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. And I was reading about that. He said, He's not a bread like we're thinking physical bread. He's that spiritual bread. In other words, He feeds us that spiritual food when we need it. You think about the children of Israel, they were wandering in the wilderness there. What did they need? They needed food. Moses said, look, we're starving, we're hungry. And God gave them manna from heaven. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He's that what sustains us when we need it. We get ready to throw up our hands and say, God, I'm just ready to quit. It seems like I go every day and I turn this way and things are bad. And I turn this way and things are bad. And I look this way and this way and everything around me is bad. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He said, I will sustain you when you can't sustain yourself. He's the bread of life. He says in John chapter 8, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. What did He say? The Bible said a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. They say in complete darkness. I only remember maybe one time we went up somewhere, those caves in Chattanooga or somewhere up there. And I remember we got in there and they turned the lights off. And you talk about dark, it was dark. I mean, you couldn't see your hand right in front of your face. I'm just like, oh man, if I'm going blind here, what's wrong? But they say it in complete darkness. A candle. Now we know a candle, I mean, it's not very bright, right? I mean, if the lights were off in here, if we had a candle, it wouldn't make light. It's like, man, there's not much. They say a candle can be seen from a mile away in complete darkness. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You know what we're supposed to do? We're not supposed to be lights in ourselves. We're supposed to be like the moon. We reflect the light of the sun. He said, I am the light of the world in John chapter 8. He said in John chapter 10:9, He said, I am the door. Hey, I came to be saved? You know how you came to be saved? We went through the door of salvation. We went several weeks ago, me and Natalie and some of the kids, we went up there to Kentucky to see that big ark they built. It's not the real thing, but it's big. If you've never seen it, you ought to see it. It's really neat. It's up there in Ken Ham. It's got that. He, you know, he built that thing. That thing is huge. It's big. And inside there, they got the door that God put there, and everybody had to go through the door. And that's the type of the door of salvation of God, of Jesus there. But Jesus said in John 10:9, He said, "I am the door." And then He said in John 10:11, He said, "I am the good shepherd." You know what the Bible tells us in Psalms, the shepherd, He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." And then we see in John chapter number 11, when Martha, I believe it is, comes to Jesus, when Lazarus had died, and said, Jesus said, "Thy brother shall rise again." She said, "Lord, I know he'll rise again the last day." And the resurrection, what Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He said, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." I read that verse at that funeral day. I said, "Yeah, we're putting this body in the grave." I said, "But it's just a temporary place for that body to stay until the Lord comes back. Because Jesus is the resurrection, and he that believeth in him, though he were dead, yet shall he live." He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." The sixth "I am" in John is in John chapter 14:6. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Guess what? The way of salvation doesn't come through baptism. The way of salvation doesn't come through turning over a new leaf and living a good life. The way of salvation doesn't come by church membership. I remember Brother Dean Bryant, he was a pastor at Wahoo for a long time. He was actually there when God called me to preach. But Guy Lee was there when God saved me. And I remember the dean, man, he'd say, "You can be baptized till the tadpoles know you by name." He said, except you be born again, you're going to go to hell. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the light." You know, when I come to the altar, I was 15 years old. It was on a Sunday morning. I sat about that back there about where Natalie is at Wahoo, and I stepped out. And I come to the altar there. I didn't go down there thinking Buddha was the way. I didn't go down there really. I didn't go down there to be baptized. And I know some believe you got to be baptized to go to heaven. Well, tell the thief on the cross that, because he didn't get baptized. And Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." I didn't go down there seeing if my name was on the church roll. I didn't go down there. I remember I met Dr. Guy Lee. I said, "Brother Guy, I'm lost. And I need to be saved." And I got in the altar. I'll be honest with you. This may, I don't want to upset anybody's theology. But when I believe when I stepped out of the pew and I turned to the altar, I believe God saved me because I said, "God," I threw up the white flag. I said, "God, I give up. I'd rather have you. I'm coming to you." I knew my only hope was in Him. And I made my way that I repented. I asked God to forgive me. I asked God to save me, but God knew the condition of my heart. And I believe when I went to the altar, He saved my soul. But He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Yeah, there's a lot of untruth in this world today. Jesus is the truth. And I'm glad that Jesus is the vine. And He said, the seventh "I am" in John, He said, "I am the vine." You know, we can't abide outside of the vine. If we're not with Him, you'll never make it. That's why people who try to do it on their own, that's why preachers who are mama called or daddy sent, try to, you know, they want to just go into the ministry just for a personal gain, they don't make it because they're not connected to the vine. We got to abide in the vine. So we see all these things that Jesus is. Hey, I'm glad, He said, for the joy that was set before Him. He did it with joy. You know, the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. Not what the preacher said, he'll say, but he'll take it from a grumpy one too. But Jesus wasn't, He didn't go to the cross despising it. He was despised, the Bible says, but He didn't despise going. He didn't go because God had told Him to. It was the plan of God throughout eternity. The cross wasn't a, we got to do something. The cross wasn't a plan B. The cross was the plan of God. God knew that man was going to reject Him. God wanted man to have a choice. And He knew man that was going to reject Him. And God made the way, the cross. He said, for the joy that was set before Him. Jesus gladly went to the cross to die for you and I. Now, I don't know most of you here. There's a few people I know. I've seen a few times that I've been here. And Natalie, she knows a few people. She knows more than I do. I'm a White County implant. I was not born in White County. And she's a native, so she tells me all the everything about, you know, how everything works. I didn't know. I've lived here for several years, though. I don't know a lot of you. But I know if you're like most people I know, you needed to be saved just like everybody else. And we know that biblically because the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. I know some good people. I look back and think of people like my grandmother. Man, my grandmother, she's a great woman. Never heard her say a cross word. Never heard her say anything bad about nobody. Anything like that, guess what? She had to be saved. Natalie's uncle had just died. He was one of the most moral people you'll ever meet. He didn't want to do anything wrong. He was just a man, just wanted to work, go home. And he was a good man. But just like everybody else, he had to be saved. And regardless of how, and that's the problem, a lot of people don't get saved today because they don't feel like they need to. It's necessary for salvation. You're not going to get in because of who your last name is. You're not going to get in because of who your mama is, your daddy is. You'll get in because of the blood of Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He did it with joy. He loves us. I mean, ain't it good to know that we serve God? I'm glad I don't serve a God who told me to go strap a bomb to my chest and go holler Ali Akbar, which means God is great, and you know, their God, not our God, but their God, and go blow up a bunch of infidels. God didn't tell us to do that. Amen. He told us to love. You read when Moses come down off the Mount Sinai out with the law. He come down, you know, guess what happened? You know, when he come down there and he seen all the people, they'd made that golden calf and they were dancing, they had took all the clothes off there and godly. What, you know, remember Moses, he threw down the Ten Commandments and he took that calf and he ground it into powder and he made them drink it. And you remember he said, if you're on the Lord's side, come over here. If you're not, come over here. When the law came down, 3,000 people were killed. He went and he told them to go slay them, go kill them. And those who didn't, they went and 3,000 people died when the law come down. You remember what happened when the Holy Spirit come down there in the book of Acts? Remember what happened? 3,000 people got saved. And man, I thank God we're living under grace and because I couldn't keep it. And we're living in a time where He loves us and God has mercy. And look, that don't mean you just go out. I had one guy tell me one time, right after I started to preach, I was working in this factory and this man found out I was a preacher. And he said, I got a ministry at the Jackson State Prison. He said, I want you to come preach. I said, I'd be glad to. Didn't know the man, didn't know anything about him. I'd never preached in a prison. I hadn't been preaching long. I said, I'd love to come. And I went, and I showed up, and I knew I was in trouble. He had one of those little collars on. You know, I always thought Catholics wore those. Found out that's just kind of a everybody, I guess, but Baptist. Cause I've never seen a Baptist wearing any little collars. I'm like, okay, this is going to be interesting. So I got there and preached, you know, and I preached the same messages now I did then. I mean, I preached Jesus love you, get saved. You know? And that man said, well, we got done. We left. We went outside and we was talking. He said, why do you tell you're a Baptist? I said, how's that? He said, you believe you can do whatever you want to and still go to heaven. I said, yeah, you're right. I like what Dr. Adrian Rogers said. I said, but God changed my want to's. I believe in eternal salvation. I believe I could go out here and I could do whatever I want to. I got saved when I was 15. I'd still go to heaven. I might enter into an early grave if I did that. So, but I like what the Word of God says. The love of Christ constraineth me. And I don't want it. He said, that which I want, you know, I would do, I would not. That which I would not do, Paul said, you know, a lot of times we mess up. But it don't make me want to follow up a fist and hit somebody. Sometimes I do. That's my flesh. I'll pray for you. Man, that makes me want to love somebody. That makes me want to pray for a sinner. That makes me want to love them. Because those people are out in the world. That could have been me. That could have been you. I like the story one man said. He said these two preachers said they were both riding down the road one day. And he said they saw this man staggering around the road there. And obviously he's laying in the ditch and getting upset. And man, obviously the guy was drunk and he was just doing all of kind of ungodliness and wickedness. And that priest said, man, that old fella, he just needs to go away. He's just making this town bad. And I said, no, that's one of them. He said, what do you mean that man's a drunk? He just robs people and he steals and he drinks and he stays drunk. He said, no, that's one of them. He said, what are you talking about? He said, that's one of those whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, outside of the grace of God, that could have been me. That could have been you had it not been for God. Had any of us could have been a drunk laying in the street somewhere. We could have a needle sticking out of our arm. Had it not been for the grace of God, sometimes we need to show compassion. Passion for those who do. That could have been either one. Had it not been for the grace of God, man, I got stirred up the other night at church. We was having a testimony meeting. And I thank God that God has blessed me, you know, with, I said, growing up, I said, I never. I work around a lot of kids. I teach school. And I work around kids who live in rough situations. And I said, I never went home and opened my refrigerator and seen a beer in our refrigerator. Never. I never saw wine sitting on the counter. I said, all I knew, I said, I didn't know there even was, I was telling the Sunday school this morning, I said, I didn't know there was a Bible controversy until I started preaching. I'd never seen anything but a King James Bible. I didn't know there was anything else. I really didn't. I said, I never saw my daddy go off, run out on my mom. I never saw all these things. And that's by the grace of God. I understand people grow up in that, and that's horrible. God can bring anybody through that. I understand. I said, but I didn't experience that. And I said, by the grace of God, I've never had to go get my children out of jail. I got a 20-year-old. I got an 18-year-old. I got a fixing to be 16-year-old. I got a 13-year-old fixing to be a 10-year-old. And I got a 6-year-old. I've never had to go bail my kids out of jail. I think if that's not 6, I got it wrong. I think that's 6. I was working. I was sitting there talking to some guys I worked with just about a month ago. I teach school. And I can drive a bus. And we'd went on a field trip. We had to go drop some kids off. And we'd went to Cracker Barrel. Me and these two other men. They were both teachers at school. We're just sitting there talking. And one of them was like, they were talking. And said, I had to go to court with my boy, and we have to go to this class. He said, because, you know, he just does drugs. He does all these things. He gets drunk. He's like 16, 17 years old. And he said, he does all these things. And he said, man, I had to write a check like $12,000 for something, you know, kind of class the boy had to take. Just talking about all the thousands and thousands, man, that me and him will get in a fight. We'll go out in the yard, we'll fight, fist fight, and all that kind of stuff. Just talking about that. Ugly, yeah, my 17-year-old, he has to wear an ankle bracelet because he got DUIs and all these things he'd done. And they looked at me, they know I got kids. What about your kids? I said, well, I got two in college. I said, the rest of them are still in, school. I said, we take them to church Sunday morning, Sunday night and Wednesday night. I said, they've never come home drunk. I said, they've never done drugs. And I say that, I'm not saying that boastfully, but I'm saying that to brag on God. Because you know what? If you'll train up a child the way, I know there's kids that get out. I understand that. But by the grace of God, my kids had, and I give God all the glory for that. I said, I don't know that lifestyle. I said, because I didn't grow up in that lifestyle. And it's only because the grace of God that I haven't. And I said, man, I said, God loves everybody and He wants to save them. And I said, I didn't grow up in that. I said, I bragged on my kids the other Sunday night. I said, man, my kids, I thank God for them. I said, I thank God they've never seen me drunk. Reason is, I've never been drunk. They've never seen their mama drunk. I'm glad God, even, you know, whether a person lives a morally clean life or a person lives a life totally in the ditch, wicked, and just a terrible lifestyle, that God saw both sides, both sinners, either one, and saw what we were worth, except for the joy that was set before Him. Man, he went to the cross for us. Man, I'm thankful for that. I appreciate that. Man, God, ain't God good? And I appreciate that. And we'll sing a verse, that's all right. We'll sing a verse of invitation. I don't know anybody's heart. I'm not going to linger an invitation. I'll sing a verse and we'll go to the house. All right, if nobody comes, a piano player, if you want to come on, you can just play a verse, whatever.